Thank you, Dr. Peterman. Good morning, everyone. On behalf of my colleagues from Fenway, I'd like to tell you a little bit about sort of notes from the field. So for those of you who are not familiar, Fenway Health was founded in 1971 as a general primary community health center. From its earliest days, partially because of the leadership and the demographics of the neighborhood, it specialized in health care needs of sexual, gender, minority communities. Very early on, mounted a community-based response to the burgeoning AIDS epidemic in New England. At this point in time, it's the largest ambulatory care facility caring for men who have sex with men in New England. There are about 15,000 primary care patients, almost 9,000 are male. About two-thirds of those are men who have sex with men. There are about 1,348 known HIV-infected male patients who get care at Fenway, and we think at least about 1,200 are men who have sex with men. There have been about 4,300 STD screening visits annually of about 3,500 individuals in care at Fenway. The data I'm presenting, the initial data were part of the MSM Prevalence Monitoring Project, and this included 10 national sites. That project is no longer actively funded, but we've continued some of the templates from that surveillance exercise to continue to update our data. We've also, because we have electronic medical record, have been able to put in some flags to try to enhance the quality assurance of data that the providers are giving us in terms of whether people had a symptomatic visit, for example. And we use these data as a quality improvement exercise at least once or twice a year, give feedback to the primary providers to try to enhance rates of screening in what we think is a very at-risk population. RCD data are captured from a lab server, the NADS testing is sent out, but we have an electronic medical record that captures all the data. We use an MS Access database then for all the SD test results, and we have full data on demographics, HIV status, reasons for testing. We use conventional testing technologies, and then the data analysis used SPSS, and we did chi-square tests and tests of trends. So this past the past year for which we have a complete clean data set is 2008. At that point, more than 3,500 of the men at Fenway were screened for at least one STD. The mean age of the men was 39 years of age. Reflecting the demographics of the local community, the majority were white European Americans. About 5% of the sample were African American, 7% Latino. About almost a third of the men were HIV infected. 34% of the men were tested because of specific STD symptoms. Over half were asymptomatic. For 11% of the men, despite the prompts, we don't have complete data on. Men who were diagnosed with one of the STDs tended to be more likely to be white, HIV infected. There was not a specific difference in terms of age distribution. We had a substantial number of younger men with incident STDs and also older men as well. So in terms of the time trends, I think what's most notable is our experience with syphilis. I know this is a session on gonorrhea. It's edifying to see what looks to be a downward trend in gonorrhea, and that then is true of all anatomical sites. What's most notable was that we were down to nadir of two cases of syphilis diagnosed in 1997. 2008 hit 93 cases. First 6 months of 2009, new case syphilis seemed to slow down in gonorrhea, maybe increase. So it's a little early to say what are the most recent trends, but you can see over the decade the secular trends of gonorrhea being in the same higher ballpark for quite a period of time, even though there's a downward trend in syphilis clearly on the upswing. We began routine urine screening for chlamydia in 2002. There, some of the providers also do chlamydia, rectal chlamydia screening, and that's in the minority of the cases. And you can see an uptick in the number of cases of chlamydia. What I think is most important, because the question we wanted to ask ourselves was, is this because we're giving the providers a lot of feedback and therefore they're doing more screening, or is this because of a true increase in the prevalence of these infections? in the population. You can see for syphilis, it's both, that clearly there was a substantial increase in the number of people screened between 2004 and 2008, but the prevalence had also increased, and this was statistically significant. With regard to gonorrhea, it's a different story, so that we clearly were doing more screening, but our prevalence was actually decreasing over time. For chlamydia, there was a tendency towards decreased prevalence, and again in the setting of increased screening. So really what stands out here is the true increase in syphilis and the overall trend towards increased screening in general. In terms of HIV co-infection, I think it's most striking that syphilis, in, at least among MSM at this setting in Boston, has become co-prevalent with HIV. And that last year, 90% of the men with a new case of syphilis were HIV co-infected. But you can also see over time a tendency towards increased co-prevalence of HIV and gonorrhea, as well as chlamydia over time, and all these tests were statistically significant as well. In terms of the number of asymptomatic cases, hopefully a reflection of increased screening of providers based on risk of the individuals and not waiting for symptoms, that there was a substantial number of asymptomatic cases of syphilis, less so for gonorrhea and chlamydia. So I think that's important to note. The other phenomenon that we've been tracking is sort of a widening of the local MSM STD epidemic, so that over the course of a decade, in 1997, two-thirds of the cases that we diagnosed with gonorrhea or syphilis came from the three zip codes immediately adjacent to Fenway, so inner Boston, whereas by over the subsequent years and by 2008, it was really a minority of cases were diagnosed locally, and more cases were diagnosed from further afield. Because of the constrained data that we collect, we don't know whether that reflects the fact that Fenway is being recognized as more of a regional center and or wider diffusion out into the community. It's something that we're interested in trying to follow up the detection of more STDs and people living in suburbs and a wider area. So in conclusion, STDs have certainly been increasingly detected in men who have sex with men seen at Fenway over more than a decade with this wider geographic representation. Syphilis is particularly increased, so that the prevalence and the number of cases detected by increased screening has increased. Not so much so for gonorrhea and chlamydia, it's more cases, but again, a reflection probably of intensified screening. We also, in addition to feeding back the information to the providers at the health center, we also do a fair amount of community education, or hoping that we're increasing consumer interest in being screened as well. Certainly the increase in these sexually transmitted diseases, particularly syphilis among HIV-infected men have sex with men, underscores the need for focused prevention interventions for patients in care settings. So I'd just like to acknowledge my Fenway colleagues who helped assemble the data, worked on the data analysis and administrative aspects of the study, our CDC colleagues who helped us initiate this surveillance project, and our colleagues at the Massachusetts Department of Health. Thank you.
Thanks for that presentation. I have a question on how has the Fenway Health Center population, client population, changed in light of the changes in the broader context of STD safety net services in Massachusetts, particularly with the closure of the state STD clinics?
It's a good question, Will, and I don't know that we have a good way of tracking that. I mean, I think that over the years, Fenway has become somewhat more diverse, you know, because the STD clinic cuts reflect, the state having not a lot of funding. So we've not been able to, you know, query people who are new clients of Fenway saying, did you come here because of lack of services? I don't think that that's likely to be a major factor, only because two of the clinics are still functioning that saw a fair number of the two other clinics that saw a fair number of other MSM in Boston, that SCV clinics are still functioning under institutional funding. So Boston Medical Center and Massachusetts General Hospital still have SCD service programs. So I suspect that most of the changes we're seeing are more reflections of people intending to have their primary care at Fenway, or people from outlying areas learning more about sexual health in general, but not that they're pushed from one part of the city because of public health cuts.
Because I guess the nature of my question is related to nationally, the network of LGBT health centers serve as important sentinel sites where new emerging STDs, emerging trends, behavioral trends, we utilize, you know, the data and the patient population opportunity in LGBT health centers to really keep a finger on the pulse with what's going on with disease changes, particularly among MSM.
No, I totally agree with you, Will, and certainly a shameless plug to our colleagues from the CDC. There's two phenomena going on in Massachusetts, so I think it would be very interesting to get more specific critical data, because we also are a state now where 97% of the residents of the state have health insurance, and a place like Fenway, because we're also a federally qualified a health center, community health center, there's nobody who is not able to pay, you know, who will be turned away for services because of inability to pay. So we always have some means of covering the costs of SCD screening, and that's true for virtually any other center. So I think that the push and pull is much more about community perceptions of risk and about particularly people who are not trained as SCD specialists in other high-volume settings where they might be likely to see clients who are MSM or increased risk for STDs, those providers continuing to have resistance to thinking proactively about screening. But I think it'd be nice to actually do more critical study to evaluate the impact of those different phenomena.
I just wanted to ask a clarifying question. For the increased rate of syphilis in those who are HIV infected, of those who are HIV infected, were some of those new diagnoses that they were diagnosed with syphilis and HIV at the same time, or they were already previously diagnosed with HIV and the syphilis is new?
Yeah, that's a great question. We didn't break it out here. I know that the vast majority were people who were already established in care. And part of our data cleaning exercise was definitely teasing out people who were serofast, so that these are not including old cases of syphilis. So it's incident syphilis, but we could go back and just double check were there a few people who were both were picked up at the same time. But the majority I know from other studies we've done are people who are stable in care.
I have a question for you. It looks like a great data set. I'm just wondering, could you use that data then to look at testing trends over time and see who's getting tested, screened, and who's not?
Well, we can. Yeah, we could. I mean, you know, it's a fair amount of work just to pull some of that together. But we definitely could look at the you know, it'd be a matter of then censoring different intervals of who had a clinic visit and who got screened and who didn't. Now, the data set is really good on something, so we could figure out trends in people's ability, you know, insurance providers, for example. So we know who has private insurance, who has Medicaid, you know, so that trend we could look at. Demographics, so age, race, ethnicity, we capture, you know, so that's all present. Some of the other things that might be of interest in terms of behavioral surveillance, that got axed when the funding from CDC ended for behavioral surveillance in these centers. I mean, so that would be particularly interesting to also capture. But some things we could definitely do, look at the screened and non-screened populations. Thank you.